Praise the Lord. Open up to Matthew 6. Yesterday, the last time I exhorted, I believe we started in 2 Corinthians 8 or 9. And the emphasis there was what God really wants is free will offerings from the heart. You know, we're not under the law anymore. We are His children. If He has to force it out of you, He doesn't really want it. If there's something in you that doesn't want to give it, He doesn't really want it. And the best illustration of that, again, is my little Lily Cakes, my little six-year-old granddaughter. Now, she has Papa right where she wants him, and Papa's okay with that, you know. Something happens when you become a grandpa. I don't know what it is, you know. Something, suddenly, three ice cream cones seems perfectly reasonable to me. And I'll go dip them up for her and everything. Sure, three. And then send them home, of course, you know. And get her all hyped up on sugar and send her home. Glory to God. So anyway, the emphasis yesterday was on as you purpose in your own heart. But there is another mode of giving in our dispensation, and that's as His steward. Now, I'm not going to go tonight. We might, for the week is out, go to Luke 16 and talk about the unjust steward and the teaching that's available there. But I think what he wants to do tonight is share some scripture here, and then he wants me to exhort only for the next 2 hours. No, I'm teasing. About 15 minutes on some of our personal history, how we've been at this a while. We've learned a few things along the way that I think will save you time. Okay, so what I want to read is a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 6, starting in verse 24. And we're just going to read it down to the end here. It says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I want to throw in something right here. This is free. There's no additional charge. He never equates Satan with God. He never says you can't serve God and the devil. He never elevates the devil to that status. But you notice here, he says you cannot serve God and mammon. See, money has the power to make you a little God. If you have enough money, you can buy your own island, get your own army, make yourself your own king. Establish yourself as your own kingdom. Money has that kind of power. You cannot serve God and money. One or the other is going to rule. And he continues to teach here. "Therefore, because that's true, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now, in the early days, I thought, I didn't really know what he meant there. I thought, well, maybe he doesn't even want us having a job. I mean, what is he talking about here, you know? But I've been at this a long time, trust me. If he wants you working and working hard, whether you're in ministry, whether you're a mama, whether your job is raising kids, whether you're working on some kind of a job in the world, you are to shine as lights in a dark world. Everything we do as unto the Lord. I'm 67 years old. I'm telling you right now, if they hired me, if I got a job at the Burger King over here or anywhere, in 6 months, if they have to lay somebody else off, they're going to lay off some teenager instead of me. I know how to work. I understand I've got to make them more money than they're paying me. I understand that. I also know how to take instruction. This generation needs a lot of that. Amen? Now, he's not talking about, listen, you're to hold a job, you're to be the best at your job. When everybody else is giving up, my daddy put something in me, he says, when it's too tough for everybody else, boy, it's just right for you. You know, first to show up, last to leave, work hard. That's not what he's talking about. What he's really talking about, we'll see it here before we're done. Who is your master? And let's say it another way, who do you trust? Where is your trust? Okay, this is the short version, okay. Yes, sir. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, a cubit's pretty good, isn't that, from the wrist to the elbow? I would love to add a cubit to my stature. And I have taken thought, trying. Trust me, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying. Now, when he says take no thought, he's talking about worry here. You can tell by the way he phrases this. Well, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, what he means by that, unbelievers, those who do not know our Father, let's say it another way, those who do not have a provider, from the birth to the grave, once they become responsible, their whole life pretty much is about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to educate our kids? What kind of car are we going to drive? What kind of house are we going to live in? What about my career? That was Gary before the Lord. That was my whole life was about all of that. Okay. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, right here in the margin, I would write, God is not stupid. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, this passage, really what it's teaching, who do you trust? Your bank account? The money that you have? Or do you trust him? Where is your mind? More money for me? Serving the king and the kingdom. Where is your mind? Now, the summary, the short version. When Sue and I, when we launched out into ministry, the Lord began giving us instructions that to me seemed very harsh. I can't get into great detail, but the way it seemed to me was like he put us out on this limb financially, and then he cut the tree off behind us. We weren't allowed to take up offerings, not for ourselves. We were not allowed to sell anything like most ministries do. We were not allowed to do this, or I wasn't even allowed to send out an appeal letter. And I'm not against any of those things, and the Bible's not against any of those things if it's done correctly. But he had a ministry in mind for us, and my job was to hear and obey. Well, what it was really about, as I look back on it in hindsight now, what it was about was, Gary, you're going to find out, who do you trust? Will you obey me? I have this message that I teach once in a while. It's called Back to Zero Again. I'm going to give you the 1 hour message in 5 minutes. It all started, I remember this period of time that I'm talking about, when we first went into ministry, we had virtually nothing. We had no secular income. We didn't have any kind of government income. People ask me about that, where you must have had something. No, there was, can y'all say zero? Zero. There was zero. We had to believe God for the next biscuit that we were going to eat. We did not know where anything was coming from. And we were serving him with all that we knew how. And in those days, I phrase it this way, those were the days when money was staying away in great abundance. I mean, it was something. But every now and then, we'd accumulate a little bit. Maybe we'd wind up with $10 or $5 or something, you know. And I remember the first time it was back to zero again. I was sitting in a church service there at the prayer center. And it was offering time, and just as they were about to take up the offering, the Lord spoke to my heart just urgently. And he says, give that lady, and I knew which one, sitting right in front of us an aisle or two, give that lady $10 right now. Give that lady $10 right now. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Part of me was hoping I didn't have $10 on me because that meant Sue would have it, and we wouldn't have to give it, because he said, he just told me, see. Guess what was in my wallet? $10, only $10. Well, I reached up, and I put it in her hand real quick. As soon as I did that, she began to cry. And I saw her put that $10 into the offering. I found out later, she was right on the verge of putting her wedding ring into the offering bucket. Because the TV preachers had told her, the only way she could get her miracle, she had to get God's attention by giving something really big and precious. She didn't have anything else on her to give but her wedding ring. God did not want her given that wedding ring. He gave her that $10 instead. Put that in there, see. Well, for me, it was back to zero again. But see, it was only $10, you know, then. But if it's zero, it's zero. And you don't know where the next gas tank full of gas is coming. You don't know where the next meal is coming. You don't really know. There's nothing. Zero. Can you say zero? Zero. Okay. Well, time goes on. I'm going to skip over several. And during this time is when the Holy Ghost was freeing us up from the law. I was finding out I was not under the law of Moses anymore, and I was freed from the curse of the, you know, how many of you know Jesus became the curse for us? You understand that? And I began to understand that, and I said, hallelujah. I'm not under that curse anymore, you know, and part of me was rejoicing that I did not have to give 10%. I mean, I got to tell you the truth. Part of me was going, I'm free. As you become his steward, you'll almost beg to go back under the law again. I'm telling you right now. I'm getting some other people know what I'm talking about back here. Okay, so that way I'm skipping over quite a few because it didn't go from $10 to this next one. There were several in between. But each time, I can't skip that one. There was another one time where this number just kept coming to my mind. It was an odd number, like this is not exactly right, but it's close. Hey, it's been a quarter of a century ago. It was about $1,825, if I remember right. Something like an odd number like that. It just kept coming to me. And this, when I would hear that number, I would see this faces of this couple that we know. And I said, I don't know what's going on. I think God's wanting us maybe to give some money to them. Let's go down to see if they're home. So we called, and they were home, and it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. Boy, I mean, that's an awkward situation, you know. You don't know. How do you approach that? You come in. Hey, we come to see you. Good. You want some tea? Sure. Sip, sip. How's your dog? Dog's good. Sip, sip. Cat doing okay? Yeah, cat. Sip. How's your grass? Oh, grass is fine, you know. Finally, you got to get around to it. I said, I keep seeing you guys' faces. Does the number 1825 mean, you know, like 1,825? Does that mean anything to you? Boy, he looked at his wife, and she looked back at him. He said, that is the exact amount we have deposited by 5 o'clock today in order not to default on our taxes. We have to have it in our account. We've been threatened. We have to have it today. By this time, it's about 4 o'clock. Man, we went to the bank. Now, it cleaned us out. At that time, I had a little construction business. It took all of our personal money and whatever balance we had there. Sad to say, but whatever it was, we had like five. I try to keep $5 in there. I mean, but it was basically back to zero again. This kept happening over and over, and every time, something in you, see, who do you trust? Something in you wants to have that reserve, and I'm not against having reserve. I'm really not. But I'm also unwilling to disobey my Lord. And when it comes right down to it, who do I trust, the bank account or him? I'm going to give you one more, and then I'm going to quit for tonight. This isn't the biggest one. This is one of them, though, where I was almost begging to go back under the law. We were sitting in the prayer center again, and there was a certain lady there. I knew her situation a little bit. I knew just enough to know that she was probably in a little bit of financial trouble. In my mind, I'm probably thinking $300 or $400, okay? Just what little bit I knew. I just knew there was a problem and maybe she might need a few hundred dollars. Well, the Lord began to speak to me during the service. And he said, I want you to take one of your checks. I want you to sign it, date it, put her name in there, and leave the amount blank. And I want you to give it to her at the end of the service and tell her to go home and add up all of the bills that she's behind on and fill in the amount and use that check to pay her bills. How many of you want to go back under the law right now? What? You want me to do what? Yeah? So after the service, we didn't make a big show of it. We got her over to the side and just told her and handed her the check. And she's like, oh, my goodness. And I said, I don't want to, again, it's how do you approach somebody, you know? And I said, I feel like this is what the Lord's saying. I don't know if they, even if you're in trouble, if you're not behind on anything, we can just tear this up, you know? And she got, so, you know, Sue and I told her and we're walking away. And she says, wait a minute. I said, what? Is there any limit? I hadn't even thought of that. I'm asking, I'm listening on the inside. God, is there? These words came out of my mouth. I heard them when she heard them. You remember that gift of faith thing? I heard them when she heard them. I said, keep it under $5,000. And I tried not to look shocked. On the outside, I'm going, I think I said, keep it under $5,000. On the inside, I'm going, oh God, oh God, oh God! I don't even know if we have $5,000. I don't know if we can even scrape that much together. You're going to send me to jail, God. I'm writing hot checks now. I don't even know if we got enough to cover it. But on the outside, you're Mr. Cool, you know, Mr. Faith Man. We went home, checking everything and getting everything consolidated. Guess what? Back to zero again. Can you say zero? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now that includes with your money. There's two ways now that I know to give. Now, by the way, can you tell I haven't starved? Everything's covered that should be covered, right? I mean, God gave us a car. I'm still driving that car. I'll go ahead and tell you this. Somebody right now is trying to buy us a nicer car. And I keep going, but I like the one I have. But I am going to have to relent, I guess, and let them buy us a nicer car. One of the things that I resisted obeying the Lord to go full time was because I kept telling him we had a car payment. God is not stupid, you know. I'll just tell you the truth. Since we obeyed him, we have never had a car payment since. We've never really bought a car ourselves. But I'll tell you this, we've never actually sold one either. We keep giving them away. And God keeps giving us other ones. Amen? He is faithful. Now, I tell people all the time, I say, I would not take for the training of those first few years where we had to learn that He is faithful. I would not take for what I learned, but I'll tell you this, I hope I never have to learn those lessons again. But I want to stay in that place where I trust Him. And I don't care. See, what if the next time it's $50,000? What if the next time? What if then after that it's $100,000 and we're back to zero again? Let me ask you, am I any worse off than when it was 10? Is He any less faithful? Will He provide for me then like He provides for me now? People just keep giving me stuff. And that's okay. Are you ready to give? Now, listen. I want you to bow your head and listen now. There's only two ways that I know to give, really. Sue and I normally first, we ask the Lord. If we're together at the time, we compare notes. We listen. Say, Lord, is there an amount you'd like for us to give? Because, again, we don't figure God is stupid. If He's telling us an amount He wants to give, He'll tell us both the same amount. Now, Sue and I have this agreement. If I think I hear $50 and she hears $100, we've made this agreement. We're always going to give the higher amount. We figure that's the best precaution against greed. You understand what I'm saying? We always give the higher amount. But it's amazing how often we hear the same amount. It is amazing. You learn to hear His voice. But then if you listen and you don't really hear an amount from Him as His steward that time, then the other way is, well, what do I want to give? Your purpose in your own heart, what you'd like to give. Not grudgingly, not because you have to, but because you, You love the ministry. You love what he's doing. You want to see this gospel keep going out over the internet and all the ways that it's going. Okay? So just listen. I'll give you a moment. Lord, your people, you heard what was said. They're listening, Lord. If you have an amount you want them to give, speak it to their heart right now. Same for you watching by internet. You can just listen. So, well, Gary, I didn't hear an amount. Well, if you did, you should do what you should obey him, okay? Don't be afraid. Trust him. He might be training you like he was training us. If you don't hear an amount, fine. Then what do you want to give? Now, do we have ushers or usherettes tonight? Glory to God, we have usherettes. Hallelujah, if you'll come forward. Praise the Lord. Look at these beautiful usherettes. Hallelujah. Father, you heard what was spoken. Again, Lord, we're doing our best not to threaten anybody and not to bribe anybody. We're not after their things, Lord, and you're not after their stuff. Lord, we're after them just like you are. So, Father, everything that comes in tonight, it comes in from willing hearts that heard and obey you. Or it comes in from willing hearts that just want to give to see your kingdom prosper. Either way, Lord, our prayer is that this offering will be a sweet-smelling savor and aroma, an offering well-pleasing to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.